Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. And we are excited for another day of grace, excited that we have you guys here live and in person with us, and also the ones that listen to us on the internet. We appreciate you tuning in for that. We are also thinking about people that's not here today and our thoughts and prayers and prayer requests, and keep lifting them up. We'd love to hear from the people that's out there. If you've got any questions or comments about our ministry, we meet here on Sunday mornings. We gather around 9:30, and then we start our Bible time around 10 o'clock. And we'd love to see you guys. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, amen. With that being said, we're going to be singing number 17 in our book, In My Heart There Rings a Melody. 17. I had no idea. Sound familiar?
Gave me, it was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody, is a melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, rings a melody of love.
Number two.
I love Christ who
died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away.
He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay.
In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. Number three. Four. We're in lesson 33.
Genesis what?
Genesis chapter 4.
Well,
everybody with me? We're just talking about the way of Cain last lesson, and how Cain went his own way, and how he killed Abel. But we're right here at chapter 4, verse 8. Chapter 4, verse 8. Let's go back to verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is the countenance fallen? And if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, we looked at last lesson that the fact that what Cain brought. You remember what he brought?
Vegetables.
He brought fruit, and he brought the things of the ground. Why? There was two professions back then that started it. One was a
shepherd.
The other one was a
farmer.
So they're bringing what they believe to be true offerings to the Lord. But God required a certain sacrifice from them that Adam and Eve told their children about. This is what you bring to God. But we know what Cain did. So Cain did not, his sacrifice wasn't approved of God. But God gave him a way to get out of that, didn't he? We found out last week. He said, all you got to do is bring the right thing. Well, you said, sin's going to lie at the door if you go your own way. And it sure did. And the anger was, so Cain talked with Abel, his brother. So after Abel probably gave a sacrifice and stuff, they're out there in the field and they're talking to each other. And then anger, the sin that lieth at the door, rises up and further complicates Cain's problem. He sees Abel, looking at this, and he's accepted. Cain's not. And Cain's problem is he kills his brother, don't he? Mm-hmm. And the first living thing to die on earth was a... what was it?
A lamb,
a sheep, okay? In Genesis 3:21, God killed the sheep, gave him clothes. And the first man to die was a... not only a male,
a shepherd.
But in Hebrews chapter 13, talks about the chief shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So here we got, we're looking at that situation all the way through. Somebody said that Cain's religion was too refined to slay a lamb, but not too cultured to murder his brother. And religion is the greatest blood shedder that has ever been known on the face of this earth. In the name of religion, they've been countries destroyed. In the name of religion, mankind's been wiped out, so to speak. You know, people talks about the Catholics and the Protestants, how they was in England. You know, when the Protestants rule, they didn't like the Catholics. And the Catholics rule, they didn't like the Protestants. And then I think in Northern Ireland and places like that, they fought night and day over that, over religion. When you think about how Muslims, in the name of religion, will cut your head off if you don't believe what they believe, right? And how strong are they? 1 billion strong. You think about the Chinese, the communists, that's a religion. What will they do if you don't side with them? They cut your head off. They kill you. But there's also Catholics in the times past. They cut your head off. They came and took over people and said, if you don't convert to Catholicism, we're going to kill you. So in the name of religion, that happens, and you can't get by with that. Many wars have been fought over that. And it is the case of more bloodshed than any other thing in human history. Religion. Whether it's biblical religion or political religion, whatever religion is religion. What is religion?
A belief system.
Not only a belief system, but what does it mean?
Man's attempt to reach God on his terms?
Return to bondage.
Return to bondage. That's what you're doing when you go to a religious system. You're turning from what God says, Cain. Here's what I'm requiring of you. And what does Cain do? There's an illustration here of the dynamics of a downward spiral of sinful responses from Cain. And Cain began badly by coming his own way. And he presents the wrong offering, don't he? He knows what to bring, in a sense. He walked in self-will, and that was the mistake. Look what I'm going to do. Look what I've got. And when God rejected Cain's offering, Cain complained about the problem, and he complicated the problem by responding in anger rather than brokenness, rather than getting on his knees, or rather than being what God told him. Had Cain, when God said no, respond in humility and said, then what do you want me to do? What does his daddy do when Eve was deceived? And what was his daddy's name? Adam made a choice. What did his daddy do in that response? He could have went and took Eve and said, what do I need to do? What? How can I correct this problem? But what did he do?
Joined her.
Yeah, he joined her. He did exactly what Cain was doing in self. He would have gotten somewhere there. It wasn't an honest mistake. It was an informed error. It was actually a willful rebellion that I'm going to go God. I'm going to show him what I got out of this ground. What was his profession? What was Adam's profession?
Farmer.
He's a farmer, a tiller of the ground. And when God warned Cain about the consequences of his sin and offered Cain an answer and hope, he could have reversed that spiral sinfulness, which he did. We saw that last time. Why are you so wroth? Why is your countenance fell? And he walks in his own way. Have you ever heard walking in Cain's way? Have you heard that terminology? That's what they're talking about. And sinful, and the way you walk in Cain is self, pride. And it's not walking the way God wants you to walk. He walked in a pride of his heart, and God rejects that, guys. If you walked in Cain, way of Cain today, God would reject that. You could be saved today and walking away to Cain's, and God's still going to reject that. You may think he don't. Your walk, yeah. Because so, what is the first, let's see, how do you say it? Salvation. What is the initial salvation? What you're saved from? When you trusted Christ died for your sins and Barbarian rose again. What are you saved from initially?
Torment. Hell.
You're saved from the separation from God Almighty. He saves you from that. So if he saves you from that, he seals you and saves you and keeps you. Okay? That's what I believe. I believe it wholeheartedly. When Paul talks about working out your salvation with much fear and trembling, what's that talking about?
Your daily walk.
What is that?
Straightening up.
Straightening up?
Your walk.
Is it the fear and trembling that you're going to die and go to hell?
No.
If he already saved you from your sins, you're already saved. So it's working out that salvation in this daily walk that you're dealing with things that's going to attack you. This is where Cain's at. You know, this type of thing. Then what's the ultimate salvation? Rapture. That's the key word I'm looking for. The pre-trib rapture. That's the ultimate salvation. And salvation means, starts with a D.
Deliverance.
Deliverance. Very good. If you want to know when Moses' back was against the Red Sea and the people was murmuring, he said, "You took us out here, now we're going to die." What did he say? Stand still and see deliverance of the Okay, so that's what it means to be deliverance from that. So here, he's walking in his own pride and his response and anger and wrath and bitterness and depression. And God says, you can stop the sparrow and it rule over you. Didn't he say it was going to rule over you? Mm-hmm. Whatever you desire, whatever it's going to be. And it break it with walking in faith. We don't see what Christ did in times past. You know, I was listening to a Johnny Cash tune, and probably an old gospel tune, about walking in faith. Where was you when Jesus died? Where was you when they put him in the tomb? You wasn't there, but your faith says, I believe it, therefore I identify with it, and I was there. He was there for me, I should say. So the thing is, walking in faith breaks that stuff. And Cain isn't doing that. Fell into more and more deeper dips of sin, nursing that grudge and the self-pity and his anger, which led him to murder. So he said, so he slays Abel, his brother. Genesis 4:9. Now, by this time, he's probably got more brothers and sisters. You are probably familiar with that. But he kills his brother. You know, many people out there will kill their brother. You know that? In the name of land, in the name of money, in the name of just jealousy. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Would you think he's telling the truth right now? What would you call him?
A liar.
He's lying. And God asked him two questions. First question, verse 9. Where is Abel thy brother? He asked him, you think God knew?
Sure.
But he asked him that it would convict his conscience. See, if you're saved today, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. When you do something that's not pleasing to the Lord, don't it kind of convict you a little bit? Like, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have thought about that. It does. So he's just wanting you to think about this. And that's what many of us should be thinking about with our walk. How is it affecting not only myself, but the people around you? And he points to the fact that old sin nature in Cain is controlling him. Where's the brother at? And Cain said, I know not. He's a big old what? Liar. He did know where he was. Cain was the first agnostic, if you will. Do you know what an agnostic is?
Somebody who ignores the truth.
Hold your finger and go to Romans chapter 1. He is the son of Cain. He is a liar. He's a liar. According to God, he is. You say, do you believe there is a God? What does an agnostic tell you? What is it?
I don't know.
Right? He says, I don't know. Romans 1. You know what God says? And you're a liar. You're a liar. That's what Romans 1. Go to Romans 1. If you read, once again, first three chapters of Romans and first three chapters of Genesis, if you just get that in your frame of mind, you can understand who you're dealing with out there, whether they're religious, whether they're lost, or whether they're saved. There's three type of people in there, Romans 3. Y'all know that. And there's this one we're getting ready to look at. Romans 1:17 says, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, but there is no God. That's what agnostic says. The manifestation of God is in everybody. Mm-hmm. And he says, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without. When you look out there at green grass and you see that and you think, wow, there is a God. You're without excuse. God's given us everything in the universe to look at, saying there is a God. But I don't know if there is or not. That's pride. Then he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what?
Fools.
So to me, there is no atheist. There is no agnostics. God says that right there. You're lying to yourself. So isn't that a good step to start with? Like if you ask people about being saved, well, who do you trust in to be saved? Well, I don't know. And you asked them if they ever heard Jesus Christ. If they didn't hear of Jesus Christ, where do you take them to?
Genesis.
You take them to Genesis. You take them about in the beginning, God created. You show them that there is a God. And once they see that there is a God, then you can find out that, hey, I'm a lost man. I need to be saved. That's where we're at right now in Genesis, Romans chapter 1. Go back to Genesis chapter 4. Cain knew it, but he just covered it up. Am I my brother's keeper? That's a retort, you know that? And the quotation of a liar and a murderer is one of the favorite verses of liberal and moderatism. Right there. You know, the half of the troublemaking and the do-goodism in social gospel is based right there in Genesis chapter 9. The people that we got friends with, or loved ones, or family, whatever, are based in that social gospel right there. And they're trying to cover up, they're falling away of Cain, whether you believe it or not. And we are, we are our brother's keepers.
Yeah.
You know, no, you are not his keeper. You are his brother.
Right.
See, religion and stuff like that says, hey, I got to keep up. I got to do this for my brother. I'm my brother's keeper. No, you're not. You're his brother. A son and daughter's different. A wife's different. A husband's different. And there is a much higher responsibility. That's just a self-righteousness. That is just saying it is not my duty to take care of my brother, but it's okay for me to murder him. Am I my brother's keeper? You're his brother. You look after him. You know, many of you served in the military. You had a battle buddy that you depended on. You had a brother in arms, you know. And some of you still probably meet with, stay in touch with people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because he's your brother. But he's not like, you're not his keeper. Verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which he hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. He points to the deed, the fruit of what he has done. This is what you done, Cain. The fruit of that what? What did he warn him that if he goes to?
Sin.
Sin, that old sin nature. And Cain knew he was wrong, otherwise he wouldn't have buried his brother. He wouldn't have buried the evidence. Now some of you have been saints and never done anything wrong ever in your whole life, from the time you was born to the time you're sitting right here. You have never covered up or hid anything from your parents. Or your loved ones, ever.
Never ate too much.
You know, but the thing is you're hiding things.
Right.
Now, if I open that cabinet up and there's 16 cases of little Debbie cakes, I'm going to worry about my wife over here. You know, she's hiding something from me because she knows I like Debbie cakes. But I also know I need to cut down on sugar, so that's just me. But anyway, the thing is, Cain knew it was wrong. He finds out that nothing is hid from God. You ever thought about that?
Yeah.
I do sometimes. Lord, I can't hide nothing from you. I can hide things from you guys. But you can't hide nothing from God.
Amen.
Period. And Abel's blood cries out from the earth. That is, it's crying out for vengeance. And so the curse is pronounced on Cain in verse 12, a twofold curse. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Now once again, Cain was a what?
A farmer.
How do you know that?
It says
so, yeah. Verse 2 tells you, and she again bared his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. He loved farming. I know farmers. You probably do too. I grew up, there's 300 acres. There was a slaughterhouse on one end and a dairy farm on the other, and we had that whole area to play in. I know what farming was. I know what it was to pick up hay. I know what it was to plant. It wasn't me personally. It wasn't mine personally. And I know people personally. They love farming. Brother Morris loves farming. You call him up right now, he's looking to go to heaven and have more bushels per acre in heaven than his dad. He produced more bushels per acre on this earth than his daddy did, and his son is producing more bushels on this earth than he did. He said, I can't wait to get to heaven so we can have a better yield for everybody, that type of thing. You know, he knows he loves farming. And when you can get almost, I think last year they got 290-some bushel per acre. They almost got 308 bushels an acre. We might not think that's much. But when the guy down the road's only doing 180, 200, you're yielding a good crop. Don't we want to yield a good crop today? But he loved farming, he did. He was proud of the produce and the things that he could produce. Because in verse 3, he brought fruit from the ground. He brought his what? Good works. That's what he brought. And God says, you know, you're not going to get anything out of the ground anymore. Would that be a curse? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would that make you feel worse than what you already feel? Wouldn't that make you feel, Lord, what do I need to do? How do I make it straight? Think about his daddy. It's following that bloodline. If you wonder why you are the way you are, that's what we're talking about. We're going to go that way. And you're not going to produce anything from that ground anymore. All the stuff you are proud of and you're stuck on, forget it. Forget about it. You're not doing it anymore, Cain. A fugitive and vagabond shall there be in the earth. Notice two things here. First, you won't be able to ply your trade any longer. You know how devastating that would be? Now, I've been a special commodities relocation engineer for a long, long time. Some people in my trade are looking forward not to be able to do that no more. But if you took that away from you at the prime that you were enjoying it, that would devastate me. My wife asks me all the time, some of you ask me, when are you going to retire? I'm like, I still like what I'm doing. But if I was forced that I couldn't do it no more, it'd probably like, oh my, what are you taking away from me? You're taking my life away from me, my work. And he takes it away from them. And second, if there's anything a farmer's are, they are wedded to their soul. They're married to that thing. They know what it is. And he says, you are going to be a vagabond. You are going to be tossed to and fro in the earth. You're going to be a fugitive. He ain't going to have a place no more. He ain't going to be able to grow anything no more. And the relentlessness is a curse of sin. That's what's doing this. And he says, you're just going to be gone. You're out of here.
No purpose.
And you have no permanent dwelling. You're a fugitive. You're a vagabond. What does our kids tell us? We raised our kids as nomads. That's what our son goes, Dad, you raised us nomads. Because we moved up here, and we kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, you know, not moving back and forth, but back and forth, back and forth, back for 23 years. And our kids are spotted all over from Florida to Virginia to Tennessee to Ohio. And Josh's like, we're vagabonds. And he's okay with throwing a backpack on his back and getting on his bike and riding, sleeping under the stars. You know, I was telling about a meme I saw in the military, he's an army guy, sleeping on rocks, just sleeping. Whenever you got a chance to sleep, you slept. And he's wide awake in his own bed, sleeping in the bed. He's like up midnight, just wide awake. But he slept okay out there because he was moving. He knew what he had to do. In your own bed, you're like, and I think they get that thing from my mom because sometimes I wake up 1 o'clock in the morning and she's in there watching HGTV because her mind's wandering, working night and day, night and day, night and day. I don't know how y'all do that. I force myself saying, I'm going to sleep because I have to do this, you know, the next morning. And I go, and Sherry, like, how do you go to sleep that easy? I'm not married to my bed, but I know what I've got to have rest. But the thing here is, you're going to be a vagabond. You're going to be a fugitive. And you're going to have no permanent dwelling. You won't be able to ply your trade. The ground isn't going to give you fruit. And you're not going to be able to have a place, the ground, to call your own. Hey, in all reality, we don't have a place of ground we call our own. Many of you have, but we don't. And Genesis 4:13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can walk. Bear. Oh, poor, pitiful me. Right? That's what he's saying. He's going to be an outcast, isolated from society. People's going to look at him and say, there is Cain, the murderer, the fugitive. He's not going to be a farmer any longer. He can't apply his trade and the purpose of his profession. He's not going to be able to do it. So what does Cain do?
He sure doesn't do what God said.
He gives you the language of self-pity. My punishment is greater than I can bear.
Whining.
Please don't take my iPad away from me. Mm-hmm. Please don't take. If you don't eat this food, you're not getting this. Please don't take my pudding away. You know, just anything, right? Poor, poor, pitiful me. Verse 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. And from the face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. That is the language of self-pity. Mm-hmm. He deplores his punishment and doesn't say one word about that crime that he committed. Murder.
No remorse.
It's okay for him to take a life.
Isn't that the natural response of a sinful man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The answer is yes. But be concerned with social evil, but personal accountability, forget about it. I'm worried about what this guy down the road is going to think about me. Yeah. Whoa, woe is me, but he's not worried about personal accountability. What did I do? That's Cain. That's the way of Cain. And that's the downward spiral that comes through the here. Notice what he says. Everyone that findeth me, shall slay me. According to the law of the near kinsman, the people that could slay a man were his near kinsmen. So what he's talking about is everybody out there was his
kinsman,
his relative. And everyone on the face of the earth at that time was related of Cain because he was a descendant of who?
Adam
and Eve. And they would either be his brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, or cousins. There's a lot of people out there. Because he said everyone. Now once again, when I shared it, this could have been years brewing. Hundreds of years brewing. When we get to it, I'll give you a hint. When we get to it, from the time Noah got off the earth to the time of the entire Bible, was 150 years. That's all. And if you don't think that within 150 years... that one person can't convince everybody to be under one Wally World, one supermarket. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to house you. I'm going to give you jobs. You're fooling yourself. Because that's what had happened. Because when they got off that ark, I believe they went and did exactly what God told them to do. But 150 years, you can bring a lot of people together. Our nation is, what, a little 225 30 years away. And we brought a lot of people together, haven't we? And at the time, the population of the earth has grown considerably. And just because all of you have seen Cain and Abel doesn't mean that Adam and Eve didn't have other children. Mm-hmm. Chapter 5, verse 4 says, he begot sons and daughters, indicating they're having children all along. We're just getting the representation of the history of these individuals. So the population of the earth is increasing. Didn't he tell them to go out and multiply? Mm-hmm. And the possibility that it was far along, like I said, around 130 years or more, out after the garden. And population of the earth is increasing and increasing. Cain said everyone. So the problem was, where did everyone come from, you might ask. Where did Cain get his wife, you may ask. You've heard, probably heard that. And those questions like that are not difficult if you figure out, if you read the Bible text here. And the, verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold, but the Lord shall mark upon Cain, lest any finding him and should kill him. Hold your finger there and go with me quickly to Psalms 59. Psalms 59. God put a mark on Cain so that nobody would kill him. God reversed his vengeance and his judgment for himself. He sends him out from his presence and he puts a mark on him. He pronounced vengeance should be taken on everyone who shall slay Cain sevenfold. In other words, he is protected by God. Mm-hmm. Not because God was for a murderer. It's because God has determined that Cain would live before man and carry out his sentences. That Cain, before man was the righteous judgment of God, told him he's going to do to him. You're going to be a vagabond. You're not going to be able to do this. That's a mark in itself, guys. It ain't a mark on the forehead or changing colors or skin color. It ain't that type of thing. Psalms 59, verse 11. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. Slay them not, lest my people what?
Forget.
If you keep slaying them, your people's going to forget. You keep removing things, people's going to forget. And you know what majority of time happens? It repeats itself, don't it? Over and over. That's the principle in Genesis 4 here. The idea of being vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God is going to require Cain to live out that sentence in the earth. That's going to put a struggle on him. So you have here Cain and Abel. In the society before the flood and development of human history, you see the development of religious apostasy. Two kinds of religion. One is based in faith in God's word, and the other one, the way of Cain. And the one of the way of Cain, and the one of the way of truth and life. One leads to destruction, broad way, and the other one leads to life everlasting. And that's what's going on there. And we'll get ready to stop here, but in verse 16 of Genesis 4, you come to a paragraph mark. And you begin to see the first civilization developed. And you will notice it develops the Canaanites, Cain's descendants. They're not a good bunch of people. Verse 16, and Cain went out of the presence of the Lord. He goes away from the place where God's presence dwelt. He's not in east of Eden no more. He's not outside of that land. He's dwelt in the land of Nod. You know what Nod means? Wandering of east of Eden. And that geographic territory is identified. And if you recall, we talked about where Eden was, remember? Mm-hmm. And you tried to identify that several lessons ago. But Cain goes away from Eden and he goes east into Persia towards India, across modern Iran, Pakistan, and on out of that way. And he goes east. And when he goes out into the east, he goes into the out from the presence of the Lord. And the tabernacle placed by God at the gate of Eden for him to worship, Cain is through with that. No more am I going there. He wants no more to do with that. He is on his own way, and he takes off, and he goes out in the land of Nod, east of Eden, and he's going to abandon Eden now. He's moving on. He's going to be a vagabond. We'll see next week what he does, or next lesson what he does. And it's not good. He's going to rebel against God again. So you many of you know what he does, right? Mm-hmm. I hear him. Mm-hmm.
Built a city.
He built a city.
He's gonna be a politician.
And he calls it what? What does he call the city?
Babylon.
Mm-mm. He names it after his son.
Oh, Enoch.
God didn't tell him to build a city. Mm-hmm. And what else? I want you to think about what he starts to do. He starts to build an institution. What did God's curse on him say? He will not be able to do what with the land?
He won't be able to yield any fruit.
He's not going to be able to till it. He's not going to be able to work it. It's not going to give him nothing. But you know what he does?
Educates others on how to do it.
He builds an institution and says, hey, Walt, go out there and get this piece of material and melt it down. Julie, I want you to go out there and get this. Leon, I want you to go out. And he educates a group of people, and they start making things and building things. But he can't do it. See, he says, oh, okay, God, you're going to curse me, but I'm going to have these kids to do it. So that's something to think about when you think about what he's doing, because they build brass things. They do this. They build this. But they couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. So the curse to me, and when we get to it, is the fact that not only was he had a mark on him, he had a mark that, hey, I thought you was the big farmer. I thought you was Adam's son, the big tiller of the ground. They're marking him. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for things you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until next week.